any entertainment to perversion or fornication. You're watching things that you shouldn't be watching. Confess that before God. That's a very private one. Keep that before God. If you need to talk to somebody or confess that to somebody, do somebody that you can trust. And it's important to do so as well. Psalm 114 today. Almost in the center of our Bible. Psalm 117 is considered, or Psalm 118, one of the two there. I think it's 117, is considered to be the very center, the core of the Bible. The center of the center. We're coming up to that. So we're in the middle here of the Word of God. We've been talking overall, and you're going to see this teaching presented in layers. So you see me refer to the name of God. That's one layer of the teaching that's been presented in the past week, and probably next week as well. The name of God. And also in that layer is the flow of God, the ministries that flow from God. We got into that last week in Ephesians. Pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, evangelist, fourfold, coming out of the fifth, Jesus. And we have what we have as a hand here to remind us that we're connected. And that main flow is Christ himself. So as we proceed forward, we'll probably take communion around Psalm 116 here. As we go forward, we're going to talk about the giftings of God. And it's important not to look at these things as badges that people wear and they're different than us. No, they're the same. And I think it was Roger that shared that we're one in Colossians 3 when he shared that we're one. And in that oneness, you'll see these diversities of gifts happen, but it's one gift giver. So it's very carnal and worldly and very natural minded for us to put people in positions, then start, you know, judging them or whatever, and it's and thinking of them a certain way when we're all really the same. We're all clay vessels. We're all subject to the same temptations and different struggles that we have. We're all like that. So sheep gone astray, we're all like that. So even though there's one standing up here, one playing a guitar, somebody teaching out back, those things happening, that is nothing about a name tag and a position. That has everything to do with rivers flowing from God. So great illustration. I've taken the liberty of paralleling those two things of Genesis, the four rivers that are mentioned in Genesis, to the flow of ministry when we gather together. We look forward to that happening. I'm excited to hear the bride speak. I'm excited to hear the Holy Spirit move in the bride. My ears are very tuned and very anxious in a sense, excited in a sense, to hear the Holy Spirit move in the people. And I do. But all these giftings flow from the head. Psalm 114 is river 1. Psalm 115 is river 2. 116 is river 3. Psalm 117 is river 4. So we'll be paralleling those. River 1 is pastor, teacher. River 2 is prophet. River 3 is apostle. River 4 is evangelist. These are ministries that flow, and you can have an unction of these. You can have a flow of these because you're all connected. All of us are connected to the main flow. Even though you'll see one person maybe exhibit a certain flow more than another, that's still God's will to do so. It can happen to all of us to speak a prophetic word, to pastor, to come alongside somebody, to encourage them, to bring them to that green pasture, to allow them to feed, to bring them to still water, to allow them to have drink, to pour yourselves out, an apostle, to be in a situation, in a place where you really, literally become a martyr. You give your life. You give all of yourself. That's an apostle. The evangelist, the rapid, to have that angst to get the gospel out, to have that excitement even to meet with other believers. The evangelist has that edginess about them. They're expecting God to come at any minute. They always talk about, don't wait till tomorrow. Now is the day to be saved. You know, that's an evangelist, right? So we have all of that working in us because why? We have Christ in us. All of us have that. So let's be careful not to call anyone after the label that they have in that sense. Jesus says, don't call anybody this or that. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about don't think carnally about these things, where we think everybody has positions and name tags, and that's what it's about. The world does stuff like that. Everything's structured in the world that way. In Christ, we're one. We're one body. We need to help each other and work towards being this unity in the body, in preserving the unity. Ephesians 4 was all of that expression. We're not going to go there right now. We're going to look at Psalm 114, River 1, Euphrates. This is pastor, teacher. And Euphrates means literally in Hebrew, fruitfulness. Psalm 114, I'll read it right through, 8 verses. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. So this particular psalm is one of the Hallels that begin in Psalm 113 and go through 118. It's a very special section of music, a very special section of song, of prose, of poetry, of beauty. These would be the words that Jesus would sing at the Last Supper. He would have these words on his mouth as he's going. The Hallels mean the Alleluias. So praise God is what Alleluia means. Alleluia. Yah is just the single letter for Yehovah, telling us that that's God. Praise the Lord. It's Alleluia. These are the Hallel songs, the Alleluia, the praise the Lord songs that would take place during Passover. Very ritual. They would have procedures and they would follow. They would do the first two songs. They would pass a cup. And then he would do the next song, pass another cup of wine. And then they have their bread. And then they would exit from their meeting singing the song. So as Jesus exited from that Last Supper, after Judas took off, he would be singing some of these songs. It's a very precious place that we're in. These are the Hallels. Jesus would be very familiar with them, and we're becoming very familiar with them as we go through these. Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. That's the ocean parting. Jordan was driven back. That's a river that was also parted so they could cross. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. Mountains actually dancing and prancing. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're not sure if there was physical manifestation of that, more speaking of spiritual. What ails thee? This is what we opened up with today. What's your problem? See, it's talking about to creation here. Why did you fold up like that? Why did you divide? What ails you, Jordan, speaking to the river Jordan, that you were driven back? So it just piled right up like layers of water. You mountains that you skip like rams and you little hills like lambs. We know that they shook and quivered. When the law was given, there was earthquake, but this sounds even beyond that. It's like mountains getting up and dancing around. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into fountains of water. Last week when we were talking about the names of God, again, this is one of the layers you'll see in the teaching here, referring back to the name of God, because everything in his creation has been given a certain bucket, a designation. And in that bucket, we discover the glory of God. Whether it's ocean, you'll see oceans mentioned here. You see rivers mentioned here, standing water, ponds and lakes, and bubbling fountains, geysers, just in this little Psalm 114. You see mountains mentioned, little hills mentioned, earth as well. Those are right in the beginning, the first things that God actually named. He made a bucket, and he said, this is going to be earth, this is going to be dry land, this is going to be sea, ocean, water. This is going to be the heavens. And he declared it so, day and night. He named these things. All of these things we can discover the glory of God in. That's what they're there for. We don't just, it's not a, I kind of described it as this effervescent, like Alka-Seltzer in a bottle. We're not floating in this white light. You know, God would have us be beings of this, that type of thing. He's created everything and pulled it into very distinct things. Think of it that way. His creation is distinct, and he allows Adam to start naming those things. He pulls Adam, mankind, into his creation, involving him, and then he gets involved with mankind himself in relationship. Wants to be their God and them to be his people. And that's what we see here in verse 7, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. So in discussion of the names of God, you hear a name here, Jacob. Who is that? That's Israel. That's the speaking of a nation of people. Israel went out of Egypt. This is a nation that God had chosen, a certain bucket of people that he would designate for his glory. There's something about Israel that speaks to us of God. That's what it's about. Israel went out of Egypt. Egypt was a strange place, strange language to them. They were in slavery in Egypt. And in God's grace and God's timing, he delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt. Judah, a son of Israel, of these names being mentioned. This is God's sanctuary. So what's significant about this nation? These sons of Israel. Asher is actually one of the names here that we have represented today. One of those sons of Israel. What's significant about this bucket of people? Well, we see significance right here in verse 7. It's the God of Jacob. There's a God associated with these people. He interacts with them. He's got a plan for them. He's got a timeline that he's going to show his grace and reveal his glory to. The God of Jacob. Psalm 114 contrasts the physical things of his creation, those buckets, dry land, sea, heavens, day and night. He contrasts to people, a God of Jacob. Yes, he's the God of the mountains. Yeah, he's the God of the seas and oceans. But what's being contrasted, what's being drawn to distinct here is he's a God of people. The power that's being brought to us in this name of God, the God of Jacob, is the power of possession that God possesses. He wants to possess a people for his own. Roger, in Colossians 3, that was right on. God's chosen people, you read. Clothing ourselves in this light. The peace of Christ ruling within us. Clothed in love. God's chosen people. God is more interested in us than he is in the mountains and the oceans. That's the point here. The power of possession. That God would have possess a people. Let's take a look at Romans 9. Expand this out a little bit. I say the truth in Christ. This is Paul writing about his calling in life. He's trying to be connected with that flow of God. He's an apostle. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I wish myself would be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That's how deep he was hurt. That he would actually go to hell for his brothers. That's how deep it hurt him to see his brothers and sisters of his nation going astray. It talks about who are Israelites. This is what we are talking about this morning. The God of Jacob. To whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers. So Jacob you hear Abraham, all of that, speaking of the fathers. In whom concerning the flesh Christ came, Jesus is of that lineage of Israel, who is over all. God bless it forever. Amen. Verse 6, Romans 9, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. So it's beyond biology here. It's beyond created things. It's about God possessing a people that were made in his image. God causing sons and daughters to be risen up. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. It's the Spirit of God breathed into people. It's a promise. It's the Word of God that's counted for this prized possession of God, that we would be his people, the God of Jacob, possessed by God. Take a look at 23 through 25 in that same chapter. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's you and me, clay here. We talked about our weaknesses today. We confessed some things. We're vessels of mercy. We're clay. God has mercy and grace upon us. The more we realize the sin nature that we have, and confession brings that out, it's like, wow, he's just like me. She's just like I am. The more we get connected, the more we realize how awesome God's grace is and mercy is, the more we're likely to submit our lives to him and trust in him. Verse 24, even us whom he has called, not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. As he has said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. Take a look at Romans 11 while we're in Romans, just a page to the right. Just a couple of verses there, 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. Don't be proud against the biology, the biological Jews and of Israel. That blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion, that's Jerusalem, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Praise God. Here we are in Psalm 114, singing the hallelujah songs. Songs that Jesus would have sang in the Passover. He's preparing to die for you and me. Speaking about a people that weren't called as people being brought in. The God of Jacob, the God of mankind, the God of people. There's a lot of people worshiping planets and physical things out there. We're going to talk about that in Psalm 115 a little bit. A lot of people worshiping other people. There's people worshiping things of creation, even mountains. Our invitation today, part of our invitation today, is to realize that this God that created us wants to possess us. And that's a sweet possession. That's a lover possessing your soul, caring for you. You see, all the gifts, the fruitfulness of the Euphrates comes from the main stream. That love of God comes from him. He is love. This should speak to our worth. As a pastor, as a teacher, feeding the Word of God, this should speak to our worth today, this morning. Are you serving creation? If you're serving creation, you're bowing down to something that's created. You're not living up to your worth that God would declare this morning. Bowing down to physical things. Idols are silly. We see that in Psalm 115. Or is creation serving us? What's mentioned here, the seas, the rivers, the mountains, the ponds, the fountains, the hills, the rocks. God turned them into things. God provided these for what? For his people. Creation is to serve man to the glory of God. Creation is supposed to speak to us these things, supposed to serve mankind. Well, we find ourselves running to and fro, stressed out because we're serving creation. Let's take a look at Psalm 115. Just lopped off a huge chunk off of 114. There's so much there. We need to keep moving here, I think. The second river, Gihon, G-I-H-O-N, as in Genesis talks about. It's where, if you weren't here last week, we talked about the rivers in Genesis. The first things that are named, given specific, distinct names like that. Psalm 115, the Gihon, the river of Gihon, means bursting forth in the Hebrew. I parallel that to the ministry, the flow of God that gives us the occasion to prophesy, to be a prophet, to foretell situation, speak wisdom into a situation. You're in the groove of God. You're dealing specifically with a situation. It's the right word at the right time. It's truth being foretold. It's a bursting forth. A lot of time, a prophetic word can be abrasive. It can feel like it's confrontational. It can exhort. It speaks up when it's time to speak up, and it speaks to the matter. It's not hidden in a corner. It's the power of truth and mercy, as we see in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. The bursting forth, the power of truth and mercy. The last psalm and the fruitfulness was the power of God possessing us, the possession of us, taking care of us, feeding us. The work of pastorship, the work of teaching is feeding, it's quenching that thirst, causing growth. And now it's the power of truth and mercy. The power of the prophet to speak to a situation. To speak up when it's time to speak up. To be bold, not to cower back. To confront evil. To stand right before Goliath and say, "How dare you come against the living God?" Man, there's some depictions of that when he's got this little puny David. He can't be more than 98 pounds soaking wet. You can see his ribs coming through. Just saw one recently. And you got this Goliath, this, you know, 13 foot, whatever he was, guy, and, you know, just saying, "What do you guys, send out a little poodle for me?" All David's older brothers are back, you know, they're shaking in their armor. And he's wearing armor that doesn't even fit him. He's like a kid at Halloween, just wearing something goofy. The power of truth and mercy need to be spoken up. We need to rise up. We need to confront. We need to exhort. To stand against the giant. How dare you come against the living God? Last night, or Friday night, at youth group up on the hill there, they did sledding. And someone literally got ran over by grace and by truth. The first one was, actually her name was Grace, and she's coming down the hill and runs right over Allie. One of the girls at youth group, she gets up and she got rolled over by grace. Hey, you get rolled over by grace. That's awesome. Yeah. Allow it to just bowl you over. God's love, man, don't let it just kind of get your hands a little wet. Just allow it to flood over you. Allow it to run right over you. And that happened to Allie. She gets up and she's like, "Wow, what was that?" And then truth's coming down the hill right after grace. And that happened to be Maddie. He knew it would happen Maddie was with someone else on the sled. He knew it would happen, so Truth removes her out of the way. He picks her up at that last second of impact and throws her. So Allie gets up and she's like, "What's going on?" She just like, prophet. The ministry of prophet. It comes from God. It's not some weirdo. It's not something of man. It's from God. It's that boldness. It's the power. Bursting forth. It's Gihon. Truth and mercy. It should roll over the giants out there. When Jesus said, when you speak to a mountain, it should move, you speaking to the prophet that he would instill in his church. Psalm 115, this song, this hallel, this praise the Lord song continues in verses 2 through 8. Wherefore should the heathen say, that's the lost, the unbeliever, where is now their God? They love to do that. You're going through it, man, you're in the valley. Yeah, where's their God now? You've got the bad report from the doctor. Oh, here it is. Where's their God now? Jesus on the cross. Oh, so you say you got to take yourself off the cross. They love to mock. Where is now their God? Verse 3 answers that. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatsoever he pleases. He truly has freedom. This source of flow that comes from heaven, God himself, is freedom. That whatever he does, he pleases. Whatever he does, that's true freedom. I want to be in that flow, and I want others to be in that flow. Not to be bondage. What's the first words that came out of Christ's mouth? It was Isaiah 61. To set people free. This is the freedom from heaven, the flow of God coming down to man. Contrast the things that you're worshiping, you mockers, you scoffers. Verses 4 through 8 there. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they smell not. No, they walk not. Sorry, a little humor. They walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Very eloquently, poetically telling us that these things are dead. That the mocker, the scoffer, the heathen, they go after these things. These things are dead, and we dress them up. We try to make them look pretty, these idols. They're dead things. America's love affair with the car is well known, well documented. How we make it look real beautiful, adoring it. And shiny, and we like to drive it around in its wonderful, adorned state, beauty, slickness. Taking something dead and dressing it up. It's what an idol is. You see that here? They take silver and gold, they just take these things, this material, this raw material, and they make it into something. They make it into something that it wasn't before, something dead, and they're trying to make something alive now. The human body. Another thing worshipped in our culture. Oh no, where are we going with this? Prophets are always in trouble. They're always sawing them in half, cutting them in half, running them out of town. Gotta look good, right? She's pointing at me out. Don't you know what we're talking about right now? Come on. That was like the worst time. All right, do I look good now?
Perfect.
My collar's right. Peter talks about that, you know, the woman being adorned, and he encourages them to be adorned with an inner beauty. But these are kind of, they kind of parallel this idea that we take something and we kind of make it into something. Why? I don't want to be connected with that. I don't want to do what the heathen do. I want to get in this flow with this God that does whatever he pleases. He's truly free in heaven. I don't want to be stuck with these things. I want to hope, well, look, I hope I look great today. Then I see Mr. GQ walk and I look, oh, look at this old, these old rags. Look, where'd he get them shoes? I got the, you know, all that stuff. That's bondage. That's not freedom. That's idolatry. Although Christians don't worship their Christmas tree, I hope you don't. I don't believe they do. The heathen do. The unbelievers do. I've seen people in tears because they, you know, that was what Christmas was to them, was a Christmas tree. The unbelievers are heathen. But it does fit nicely here in one sense. Is that we take something, we basically kill it, something, make it dead, and then we dress it up. And we say, how beautiful that is. It's dead! It's dead! So maybe it speaks a little bit anyway to this. Although I won't pick on you if you have a tree, I might have one this year, might not, haven't had one in a few years. Maybe some alternatives to consider. Why? Because we're free. Amen. You are free. You're free to do this. I can't. I just can't do it. I can't break from this. Well, you're in bondage then. You are free. To be connected to the God that does whatsoever he pleases. You're truly free. You can go kill a tree and dress it up and call it beautiful. Well, the reality is what's on the street the next week is a bunch of dead trees. That's the reality of the thing. Alternatives this year, because you're free in God, just some suggestions. Maybe you'll have some different ones. God will breathe onto you. Some new ideas. Isn't it wonderful to have opportunity to do anything as God directs you? A Christmas cactus, it blooms. These aren't something you have to decorate. God provides the glory already within this thing. It blooms on Christmas in that season, during that time frame. Put a seed in the ground, time it right, look it up when it's supposed to sprout, and have something sprout on Christmas Day or near about. You don't have to decorate it. And be in awe of that thing. And it could be a tree. Then in the spring, go plant that thing. A living tree. You can get them potted. It could be even a lemon tree. The people down south, a lot of times they do palm trees and stuff. It's very expensive to get a pine. So they'll decorate a coconut tree or something of that nature. But a living tree. Something that's in a pot. And you could put verses on it instead of silver and gold and you know, those kind of stuff. Put a Bible verses on it. Like this one that Richard sent me last week, Isaiah 61:3. Decorate it with God's word. You want to put real light on there? Do that. Isn't that exciting? I think it's fun. Not to pick on the traditions that we have, but it's fun that we have freedom to do something. That we can be different, peculiar. Isaiah 61:3, this is after the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to set people free, set the captives free, to point them that mourn in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that he might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord,
that he might be glorified.
Glory belongs to God. And this is what this psalm is all about, 115. Not unto us, not to any created thing, but unto the name of God should the glory be given. The next verses, sometimes when you let go of traditions and sometimes when you express freedom, you're going to be persecuted during that time. Any time that you live for God and you stand out, you will be persecuted. During that time, trust in him. And three times it's mentioned here, trust in him. Trust in him. Trust in him. Verses 9 through 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. We've got a solar probe. We're actually literally trying to get as close as we can to the sun now. NASA has a project. You might have seen it in the news recently. We're 96 million miles away from the sun. This spaceship has gotten to within 3 million miles of the sun. What do they see? A big, bright blob just closer. But they have this big shield in front so they can get as close as possible. Very special material. God is our shield. You'll see that mentioned three times again here. Trust in the Lord. He's our shield. We try to get the glory of God through idols and created things. And we try, hey, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Look at that shiny car. Look at that hot person or whatever they are. Look how they're dressed. Look at that person that's got his collar fixed correctly. We try to get close to the glory of God. We only can get within about 3 million miles. You know, the heat shields are burning, man. It's getting too hot. With Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, we can go right in. We can go right into the glory. We can experience the glory of God in its fullness. The fullness of freedom. We can be set free and know what it's like to love your enemies. Know what it's like to lay your life down for your wife as Christ did. Know these truths and get bowled over them as on the sledding hill. Allow these things to transform your life. He is the true shield. Trust in him. Trust in him. Get closer to God. Get closer to God. Get closer to him. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now the blessings flow out as we take communion. Let's focus on these blessings. The Lord has been mindful of us. Oh my goodness. He's been mindful of us. It talks about his thoughts towards us being as such as the grains of sand on the sea. That's beautiful. There is nothing like that. You're talking about numbers that we haven't invented names for. It doesn't even, quintillion doesn't even work. You're talking about a very powerful God. His thoughts toward you, he's mindful of you. Why? Because he wants to possess you as our Lord, our great shepherd, and lead us beside still water and green pastures to allow us to fully enjoy and embrace truth and grace, to allow the glory of God to minister to us and through us to others. As you take communion today, as you drink the cup, believe that Jesus bled for you on the cross. It's as simple as that. His blood was flowing from the cross for you and me. It's a phenomenon that it washes our sin away. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. Although our sins are scarlet, they are scarlet, they're red. They will become like snow, pure white. Snow is actually ice, crystals. You ever seen that? It's beautiful. It is a beautiful part of God's creation, one snowflake. Unique, beautiful, symmetric. Why is it white? Why is it white? When icicles are clear and water coming out of your tap is clear, Why is snow white? Come, let us reason together. Although your sins may be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. You see, that one snowflake, beautifully crafted by God, in the angles that it bounces the light around and diffuses the light, in its beauty, it broadcasts a perfect white light. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Everything that was confessed today is only the tip of the iceberg of the sin mankind has done. All the stuff that we've done to each other, all the sin that we've committed against God, it's just the tip of the iceberg, some of the things that were confessed. All of it, the whole iceberg, has been covered by the blood of Christ, about his broken body for us, represented by this bread, and the blood that was shed on the cross, represented by the cup here. All of it's covered. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Dead men praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we stand in awe of this mystery that you were the first to taste death for us, Lord God, that we would not have to. We would live again and forever with you, Lord Jesus Christ, as we trust and believe in you. Throw at it three times. You've got a doubt in your life. You've got a doubt happening right now. Throw trust at it three times. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. As you trust in the Lord, the blessings flow. If you're not trusting on the Lord, you're sitting on the riverbanks, feeling sorry for yourself, waiting for the fish to jump in your bucket. Get right in. Get into the flow. Trust Him. Trust the Lord this morning. By coming forward this morning, our altar call this morning is trusting the Lord. Drinking of the cup and taking the bread is trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting you with my body, my life, my mind, my thoughts, my job, my career, my titles, everything. My children, my grandchildren, I'm trusting you, Lord. The situation I can't figure out, I'm trusting you, Lord. As we approach Him in this trust, we are getting closer and closer and closer to the glory of God, just bursting out in blessings in our life. 3 million miles is not close enough to the sun. We have to go right in. Jesus wants to implant His Holy Spirit within you right now. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, be baptized with fire right now. This burns greater than any sun. 1 million, 1 billion, 1 trillion suns is the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Allow it to burn in your heart. God, I receive you today. I receive your Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord God, for the people that we have here today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the love that you express to them. We pray your blessing over them today, Lord God. Cause their mind, their thoughts, Lord, to come in order. Anything that's exalted itself over you, God, it could be finances, it could be anything, has to be in submission now to the one that is above everything. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I say Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over.
Praise God. Next week, we'll be looking at this next two rivers. The most difficult one will be next week, will be the apostle, the pouring out of your life, being a martyr. So that's going to be very rich, very deep, and very, very truthful.